Good morning. It's a Monday. Drive slow. That's been the theme of the pre-show. Ooh, makes it sound like we're kind of like cool cats, huh?
It does.
Yeah, Michael Davies uses the
even if we're not.
Lamenting about driving habits out on the roadways these days.
Right.
Well, okay, this day specifically.
Yeah.
And Saturday.
Well, for the most part, people are driving on the correct side of the road.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're kind of sensitive to that, I know. So am I. Oh, boy. Are you ready to see if we can start this week off with a bang?
Well,
that's not a phrase. Don't worry.
Yes, no. When it comes to
to
traffic, let's make sure that we're not starting it off with a bang.
All right. How about lampoon?
Lampoon?
Why do we say lampoon or lampooning someone?
Good grief. I've thoughts of 1980s Pulp Fiction movies.
Oh, I was seeing magazines. Oh, yes, and then the National Lampoon stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm picking images of Chevy Chase coming across my mind.
But yeah. You know what I focus on? It's either Grandma on the Roof or The Moose.
The Moose.
Gets punched out at the end, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What was the name of that theme park? It wasn't
Wally World.
It was Wally World.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. That has nothing to
do with... Instead of Walt Disney, Wally.
That's...
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. But that is not the meaning behind the word lampoon.
I don't think so.
No. I digress, and I'm completely off base.
All right.
So bring me back.
I do know that it was Harvard. That was about as deep as I could go. The Harvard Lampoon is high on the list of our nation's oldest humor magazines. Everyone who's read it, many who have not, recognize the title suggests a generous use of biting satire.
Hmm. That's some comedy.
But in one of its earliest senses, a lampoon was not a verbal or pictorial caricature. Instead, it was a drinking song. Hey, it's getting better and better all the time, right? Monday morning.
No comment.
It was a drinking song that took its name from an old French expression meaning let us drink.
Hmm.
In France, as well as across the English Channel, students often gathered in public houses for sessions of drinking. Public houses, those are...
Pubs.
Pubs, bars.
Yeah, you could have asked me about that one.
But... Yeah, I noticed you kind of pounced rather quickly. Such gatherings were marked by singing of many body songs about school officials, public officials... Hey, you're there twice. Public officials and authorities. Hey, there you go.
Oh, my God.
You got a trifecta. In general,
two out of three for me.
Yeah, and you say you don't know anything about this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Rollicking verses permitted the use of almost any name singers might select. Eventually, the broad humor associated with a group of sessions at the tavern overshadowed the French expression for drinking. As a result, overt mockery, not necessarily linked in any way to a tavern, came to be called a lampoon.
My goodness me, so many references to...
And you missed a ball.
Well, you know, as an educator, we do not condone the use of alcohol.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the use of satire.
Well, the use of satire, that's fair game.
Yeah, okay.
But public houses and education, public schools.
Yes.
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 Absolutely.
Well, I went up to Neyland on... Friday.
Yes.
And you had said that, or Sean, or you, somebody had said that there was 4 feet of snow up there Monday.
Yes, I went up there on Thursday with my shovel.
Oh, did you help
well,
on the roof?
Were you
a roof guy, or were you out of the parking
lot? I was ready. I took my eldest daughter up there after we had our board meeting, actually on Wednesday, and because I understood that there was a lot of snow, and we were expecting that rain on top of snow, on top of the roofs, not
melts
such
it
a
off?
Good thing.
Oh.
But honestly, the community had, by the time I got up there, there were a few people that were milling about with tractors and shovels. They'd cleared the parking lot. They'd cleared the flat roof, which was one of the portables, which they were most concerned about.
Yeah, flat roof. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And... Yeah, I mean, the shovel stayed in the back of my truck because they just didn't need me. But I was extremely grateful for the community.
You walked around, though.
And I did.
Did some attaboys, yeah.
You know, the bus barn, metal bus barn, the siding of that bus barn had buckled under the weight of the snow on the roof. And yes, there was about 4 feet of snow. It was unbelievable. Snowmageddon is how the superintendent referred to it as. I had never seen that much snow up there before. It was crazy.
I had two trips. First one was less than successful. The second one, yes, we got the project done. I was surprised how people have got those small little bobcats.
Yeah.
They're out roaring around, yeah, doing whatever. Are. You know, all the rigs are parked out on the main street. Uh-huh. I think Public Works must have come through and done one pass-through. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of like my vision. The Winter Olympics and me are not really that close. Right? I'm going downhill at 95 miles an hour, totally out of control, or what would be totally out of control for me. No. You know, and the snowboarding wasn't made for somebody over 5.5 feet tall. Okay. But the toboggans and the bobsledding.
Yeah.
That, well, and curling, to be honest.
Oh, that's, yes.
I like curling. I don't know curling. Why. Maybe it's because you get a bunch of old fat guys doing it. You don't have to be.
Some of those are real athletes, man.
Oh, I understand. But yes, you don't have to be like a track and field condition to, yes, do that.
Yes.
But the toboggan or bobsledding, yeah, to me is cool. That's kind of what it felt like for me going through and having 3 feet of snow on either side of the, yeah, truck in a narrow thing.
Right.
I didn't put it up on the bank, and I wasn't doing that number. Yeah,
that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Safety first.
Yeah, actually, I was looking for somewhere where one of the ranchers had emptied out the front end of their driveway so I could turn around. I'd back it out for about a quarter mile.
Yeah, yeah. I drove to the airport, and it was...
Oh, you made it all the way out?
I did, yeah. And but it was very narrow. I was in my truck, and like the...
Now, did Cody take care of the airport so that the airplanes could land?
I don't know.
You didn't actually get to the airport itself?
Well, I did get to the airport, but it was, there were just banks of snow. I couldn't even see.
Oh, you couldn't see. Oh, I mean, yeah. This is all fodder for when he's in a couple weeks.
Okay.
But yeah, now Neyland is one that we were both familiar with. I'm sure that there were a lot of other schools that were
We had several schools that were affected for sure. Out in Klamath Trinity Joint Unified School District, several schools were closed there. Southern Humboldt, of course, Casterlin, which is way up there, all the points, that school was closed for quite some time. So, you know, those weather phenomena just keep on coming.
Phenomenum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we're supposed to get some more, but it's nice and warm, so I'm hoping it's all melt.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes. All these great recommendations, but nobody else hears them during the breaks when we talk. Thankfully.
Well, that may be a good thing.
Yeah. It's right up there with pubs. And how come you pounced on that one so quickly? With full knowledge.
Yes. Well, you know, I am from the UK. Grew up in a small village.
That's not the part that was the disturbing part.
Pubs and churches.
It was the familiarity. So with the weather that we've been having, the rains and the winds and everything else, are you getting from the superintendents more requests about how do we, well, I guess in another setting, harden the target? How do we make it so that it's not so bad, so disturbing? Boy, we have to maintain the offsite learning capabilities because we're experiencing these opportunities to use that, et cetera, et cetera. Is there more recognition of some of those types of things?
Yeah, I think so. COVID certainly taught us how to be flexible, adaptable, and we have that kind of infrastructure ready for students in terms of remote learning. And the other thing structurally that some of the districts are doing is building in those emergency days, you know, building in those snow days, knowing that it's not necessarily snow unless you're up in Neyland or out in Casterlin or,
yeah,
in Maple Creek, but just emergency days because, you know, between the PSPSs that we had, what, four years ago, I think?
Yeah.
You know, and then weather issues that we've had, global pandemics, we got to be ready because what happens is that unless those days are forgiven by the state, which they can, especially if there's a state of emergency, the districts can apply for a waiver on those instructional days. They file a form called the J13, and if that is agreed to by the state, then they don't have to make up those days. Otherwise,
for funding purposes,
right? Otherwise, they do have to make up those days, and you know that's not great to have to extend your school year.
Was it 180 days? Is that
180 days?
Why I remember these kinds of weird things, I have no clue.
Yeah.
But when I was in elementary school, I remember we always had 185 days. That's what was scheduled.
Hmm.
Because you knew that there were going to be things. And maybe it was a three-day weekend if it hadn't been used up.
Yep.
But the kids that were at either Freshwater or Mitchell, Lower Mitchell or Upper Mitchell, they a lot of times had to leave early. Okay, and it was no big deal. The buses just kind of showed up, and those kids walked up, and there they went. You know, the rest of us in Myrtletown just, you know, depending on the age, either got screwed or had the extra opportunity to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine, as a 10-year-old, which one I chose.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But that was just norm.
Right.
Regular types of things. If power went out, okay, everybody goes home early. It wasn't as disruptive as it seems to be these days.
Yeah.
Is it just a different sensitivity level, or is it now things are scheduled right to the edge all the time so that you don't have those, they were used to be called snow days. I don't know.
Yeah. Those emergency days. Yeah. I mean, the goal is, of course, to have students in school as much as is possible, safely, right? Obviously. And with the amount of school that students have, in-person learning that students have lost over the past 2.5 years, like every minute counts, right? So if there's a way of keeping students safely in school, then staff's going to do that.
But what we're talking about is contractual negotiations with the unions, and that's...
Yep.
I think it's perceived differently, at least by those of us on the outside. That's not focusing on kids. That's focusing on the employees. Okay. I mean, the end result might be very common, but it's a different perspective, I guess.
Yeah.
So why not just schedule a couple of extra days?
Yeah, you certainly can. And some of the school districts have, you know, what's called professional development days that are built in.
Yeah, the in-service training stuff.
Those in-service days. So, you know, we have many districts have 183 to 186 contractual days. So that,
so those can be used for
well, I mean, that would be something that would need to be, there need to be an MOU about that because it's written in to a contract as being instruction, you know, professional development days or, as you say, in-service days.
Specific purpose.
Specific purpose. Yeah. So if it was to be an instructional day, then it would need to be need to have some MOU with the bargaining units around that.
I'm sure that's real simple to do.
Sometimes. You know, sometimes it is. It's just a one-pager. And I'd like to think that we're all looking out, you know, best interest of the kids. So
yeah. Well, I would think that that could be put in if it was a comp day anyway. Then nobody's going to get too excited, you know, as long as you can afford it.
Yeah.
Or the district, rather, the specific district.
Right. Yeah, and I, you know, as far as the number of days goes, with the expanded learning opportunities funding that's come in, we do have more funding to be able to provide additional supports to students over the summer. And so,
like summer school?
Like summer school.
Regular normal classes or just the catch-up classes?
No, I mean, you can structure it however you want. But there's an opportunity.
Based on an MOU? Yeah. You put the worm on the hook. At least I got to take the hook.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Oh, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Michael Davies Hughes. The social component, you touched on the fact that the kids, you know, for a couple of years, may or may not, depending on what their school district is, had interaction with other kids. And that, yeah. You know, there's been an awful lot of discussion focused on that over the last 2 years, I guess, ish. About what those long-term impacts might be. And I think many of us early on kind of poo-pooed it a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. So the kids are playing out in the street in the playgrounds instead of going to school. What are you talking? Okay, well, you throw the social component into it. You throw the technological stuff into that. The fact that many of these now, it seems, these youngsters are more apt to sit across the table and text each other than to look up and see the baby blues.
Mm-hmm.
What does that portend? Are you going to have to expand your staff or the job functions of a number of staff members to be able to kind of bring this back into focus so that there's a normalcy returning? Or has that already left the barn, so to speak? Another phrase, the horse has left the barn.
Yeah, let's keep that one for the next month.
Oh, okay.
All right. Or maybe we covered that one before already. Seems like that's familiar. Or maybe that was cart before the horse. I don't know. One of them. Coming back to your question, though, I think things have changed. There's a, you know, when we talk about normal, and I know the too often used term of, you know, new normal. I don't necessarily like that term, but things have changed. There's been a paradigm shift, and it's not something that happened because of COVID, but I think that the pandemic accelerated some of the changes that's happened in education.
It ought to frighten the crap out of you. That was the word I was focusing on too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You too could be a broadcaster.
I don't know about that.
That's the fear part, fear factor. Yeah,
yes,
okay.
Indeed.
But yeah, it's whatever was there has been concentrated, accelerated, and now it's to the spot where it's more routine, maybe routine rather than normal, to see and experience this stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I have been blown away by recently is this AI, right? artificial intelligence. There's a website or there's a, I don't even know what you call it. It's AI called ChatGPT.
Yeah, we've been playing with that for a couple of months, and it's disturbingly frightening for me.
Is.
You can have this artificial intelligence, I know, I'll use me as an, or our industry as an example. If it gets fed just a couple of points,
mm-hmm.
it can write the story.
Yep.
It can voice the story. If you are in the video mediums, you can have an avatar or a funny, you know, an AI person.
Yeah.
Make them look like whatever you want. Throw whatever accent you want on that. Put a backdrop in it so it mm-hmm. looks like they're out in the field reporting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And present it as factual, accurate,
right.
local news. And it's nothing.
Yeah.
Except believed.
Yeah. So, you know, when we look at that as adults, right, we go, what in the world?
scary, scary.
Right. But, yeah, you know, for you show that to a teenager and they go, yeah, yeah, I know. I know. I've been doing that.
You know? Right. Or like, that's what their movies have been, or their video games, or all these other suspended reality things. Right.
So how do we help kids navigate those kinds of environments in which what is real? What is not real?
How about kids and their parents, too? Bring us along on this one, too. we're going to be the ones spinning out probably more than what the kids are.
Absolutely. So education it's more than the education of the mind, right? It's got to be the education of the heart, so to speak. Say that figuratively, but it's making good choices with the information that you have.
We used to giggle about Wikipedia. Well, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what percentage of the population believe that and accept it unquestioningly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big word.
What I have seen with students is that part of this is just being a teenager or a young person, is they question everything, but really they're not easily persuaded by one point of view. I don't feel. I see that students are, because there's so much uncertainty, there's not just, teacher telling students this is the way it is. There's only one way to do this problem. No. I know something different, me as a student. There are multiple ways of doing this. There are multiple viewpoints on this matter. So I do see that there's a positive aspect of this, ambiguity, so to speak, about what is real and what's not real. It's helping students navigate that so they can come up with their own conclusions. My conclusions, so your conclusions, their own conclusions.
30 or 40 years ago, we used to laugh about library class, or library skills class. Ha ha ha, right? It was right up there with basketball for credit. I suspect that if that's redefined as research skills, that takes a super high priority at this point and might supersede some of the STEM classes. Because if you're starting with a false premise, unless you're proving that it's a false premise, that's the project. Holy cow! Particularly with this AI that's coming out,
right?
Or even with the games, the whole virtual reality, the little headgear that is entertainment. I know it's also used for professional training as well.
Yeah.
But all of those types of things now, you are in a different mental state going through that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe it, and there's always those that are susceptible, if you motivate 10% of a population to do something, it's called a trend. And then everybody jumps on board. I mean, it really, as you can tell, I'm cautiously concerned about this thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm cautiously... this is the way I would put it, is that we have to continue to ensure that students are thinking critically, right? Thinking critically. What does that mean? It means questioning and doing the research and either validating what they find with evidence or refuting it with evidence, but not just relying on AI or hearsay, or
you can't go to Encyclopedia Britannica and know that it's been properly vetted, like it was when we were going through a single source that has that. KINS, News and Information Time.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer. your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes, Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools. So with some of these challenges that are there, I saw a video that was shared, Gen Z. And, did I share this one on air on Friday, Winston, with Sean, when Robertson was on? No. Okay, good. It's, I know it's tongue-in-cheek, but a Gen Zer, which is, what, 18 to 24, I think is what the chronological, maybe 16 to 24, is at a health spa wanting to buy some beauty products. Her cell phone dies. The clerk says, well, you know, you write a check or credit card or cash.
Mm-hmm.
She says, what's that?
All right.
Okay. Well, you just want to call your mom. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So she hands her not a cell phone, but one of the wireless phones. What's this? Well, it's a phone.
Yeah.
Oh, well, do you have a cell phone? The girl says, yeah. Okay, hands her cell phone. She taps it and says, call mom. The girl grabs it back and says, no, you're not going to call my mom. Okay. Well, what's your phone number? I'll just...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what's your street address? I don't know. I mean, it continued along that progression.
Yeah.
And, you know, we hear jokes about some folks not being able to write a check.
Mm-hmm.
Or address an envelope.
Yeah.
As we're heading down this path, heading down this path of technology, do you see that there's going to be different class offerings too, called life or something like that? So we get the interpersonal relationships. We get outside. We get away from the technology. Being 10 minutes away from your cell phone does not cause you a mental breakdown. You know, and some of these other things that we are starting to kind of hear little bits and pieces of, do you see that that's going to be in the future? We don't want to use the word normal, but let's say non-technology based.
Yeah. There's an addictive element certainly to this technology. And I think that as adults, as educators, we have to be responsible for moderating that in the best interest of like developing the whole child and not just the technology leaning.
Here's a kickball. Here's a tennis ball. Go do something.
We've got to carve out some time and space in a day for students to work on relationships. I think that's the bottom line.
With themselves as well as with others.
Like, yes.
It was funny that when our guys were growing up, I don't know, did you ever play with Lego?
I did. Loved Lego.
Okay. Did you have to have a kit or did you just get Lego pieces?
No, I just got a whole box of them.
Yeah. These guys had to have kits.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was, what do you mean build a house?
Yeah.
it's interesting how things will evolve or the creativeness or the ability to desire to, but also from our perspective, the lack of critiquing negatively.
Hmm.
You know, yeah, okay, there's a perfect whatever. Doesn't mean that that's what you're going to build. You're going to build whatever works for you at that point with Lego. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
Do whatever you need to. Maybe that's it. We need more Lego in school.
That's what it is. Okay.
Probably a choking hazard, though, huh?
Could be. Well, you know, you got those very large pieces of Lego.
Yeah, Duplo, right?
Lego Plus.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting into the construction HROP. All right, bud. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
Hopefully all the snow will disappear here in the week and we won't have that to worry about in the future.
No, just flood alerts.
There you go. See you tomorrow.